Hey, friend! Welcome to Perspectives into Practice, a place where life's stories meet practical wisdom. Together, we'll explore how faith-filled perspectives can transform the way we live, love, and grow. So grab a seat, settle in, and join us on this journey to turn inspiration into action. Let's dive in. All right. Hey, friends. Welcome back to Perspectives into Practice. I am so excited because today we are kicking off a special series called Serving with Purpose, where we're going to talk all about how to use our gifts to serve others, how to find joy in it, and how serving can become a powerful act of worship. And I could not think of a better person to start this conversation with than my friend, Angela. She has such a heart for serving. And today we're diving into what it looks like to use the gifts God has given us to make an impact. So grab your coffee, settle in, and let's chat. Hey, Angela.
Hey, Jessica. How are you today?
So good. And I'm so glad that you're here with us today. So guys, I met Angela and her amazing family in a Christian homeschool tutorial many, many years ago. And she actually now runs it, which is amazing. You're on your sixth year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is amazing. And so if you don't know anything about Christian homeschool tutorials and co-ops and programs, there's a lot of serving that happens. Mm-hmm. And not all of it is done with joy, but it is done with a heart of gratitude. And so Angela, she has three amazing kids and a wonderful husband, and they all do such good things serving others. And she came to my mind immediately when I wanted to talk about this. So before we dive in, Angela, I want you to tell us something fun about yourself. Maybe it's something people wouldn't guess about you.
Well, anyone who knows me, and one of the weird fun facts about myself is that I grew up in a funeral home. And so I am like my girl. I lived above the mortuary, and that was just natural for me. I just grew up with the business of the funeral home around me at all times.
That's amazing. I always forget that about you. And then when you remind me, I'm like, yes, that is serving others. Like you grew up around that, which I mean, and that's a huge burden to be able to help those families in one of their darkest moments. And so, wow, what a fun fact.
That's definitely one of the weird ones.
I love that. All right. So today we are talking about how we can use the gifts that God has given us to serve others in a way that brings joy and impact. So Angela, do you have a story to tell us about this journey?
Oh, well, if you're talking, I think one of the reasons you thought of me was because of our journey as homeschool co-op directors. And so, I mean, I think the biggest thing is the calling from the Lord, right? When he calls you, either whether it's he puts a prompting on your heart or someone says, I see something in you and I think you would be good in this position, whether it's Sunday school teaching, whether it's opening doors, whether it's leading something, or whether it is stepping in and being a director. When God calls you to it, it is the humility to answer, as well as to dig deep and see what your skills are and what you can add to that. And like you are kind of leaning into, making sure it's something that fills our bucket. Because even though we're serving the Lord, we want to do it selflessly, we also want to make sure that we're using the gifts that God has given us. For instance, I would probably not be very good at doing some mathematical equations unto the Lord. I'm sure that God has gifted other people for the accounting purposes, but that's not something that I would get very excited about. I would probably grow weary. So God calls us towards things that he's already put in our hearts and he's already given us the skills for. Yeah. Those are the ones that I think are more fulfilling.
Yeah. So was there a moment when you realized that this is the gift that God has given me and I need to use it?
I remember doing a Bible study, and I'm going to mess up the name, but it was basically identifying your spiritual gifts, because they're listed out in so many of the New Testament books, and they almost walk through it and you take the survey and you figure out what your gifts are. And I remember being very aware that my gifts were in administration and hospitality. And yeah. I'm like, yep, check, check. So again, when the opportunity came to me to be a director and to take care of a homeschooling co-op, it was like, okay, well, I should probably look. What lines up? Do I have these skills? And it was like, yes, yes, I do. This is kind of in my wheelhouse, and it makes perfect sense for me, as yeah. well as the hospitality gift, and that is meeting and greeting people. So that felt like something that, yes, I could do, and it wouldn't be painful in the moment. You know, everything has its pluses and minuses, but it was something yeah. I would willingly do with joy.
Yeah. So did you have any doubts? Like when you said yes to serving others in this capacity mm-hmm. and taking care of really other people's kids mm-hmm. and their families and their homeschool journey, what kind of doubts did you have, or if there were any, like what did that look like for you?
I think you have the logistical doubts, like what if I can't do it? What does next month hold? What does next year hold? What if I get sick? Who's going to help me out? Do I have enough time? Do I have enough energy? I think we all have those doubts no matter what's being thrown at us, even if it's to be a Sunday school teacher or if it's to go and serve in a missions trip. What if I get sick? What if something happens? So I think there's always those that logistically we don't have the answers for. There's no way we can predict what the future has yeah. for us. So it's the trust and stepping outside of, okay, the what ifs, because we can what if ourselves with everything.
Yeah.
So I think that where there's natural doubts, no matter what the step is, if it's a 1-hour service project or if it's a lifelong commitment, we can always focus on those. But to be a Christian is to set aside those doubts and give them over to the Lord and say, all right, I'm going to take that step of faith.
Yeah, because it's not us. He's given us these gifts and then he gives us the ability and the choice, really is a choice to use them for his glory or we don't. Yeah. Honestly, and to put ourselves lower, right? And right. God's calling above us. Oh, yeah. It's a huge step and a feat, but what is the saying in the Bible? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Mm-hmm. And when we walk into what Christ has called us to, it is easy when we continue to lean on him. Have you found that to be true?
Majority of the time. I mean, no job is easy 100% of the time. So I would say most of the days, it's like, okay, I am conditioned for this. God made me for this. By his hands and feet, I am doing the work, and most days are successful.
Yeah. So I feel like wondering if you're good enough or if you, whatever those, you know, those doubts could be, besides just like, what if I am not there physically, but what if I am not enough? What if I am not good enough? What if I can't do enough? And then that's when we're really having to give up, give up us and focus on him, because God is enough for us. And if he sees us to it, he's going to see us through it. And leaning on him is the most important thing in a spiritual journey and in a, you know, a physical following those gifts that he's given us journey.
But he's constantly sanctifying us too. I mean, we're not the same people and we're continually growing. We have to be humble enough to admit that there's an area to grow, and that you constantly, I think it's also the maturity to know, okay, I want to grow. I want to get better. I want to get better in my walk with the Lord. If we are content with where we're at and we're not going to grow, then anything, whether it's in a marriage relationship or in a job, you're not going to improve if you're not humble enough to grow and make sure you're taking steps consistently. But God is constantly sanctifying us and making us and preparing us for his kingdom.
Yes, absolutely. So is there a story that you can think of that you have seen God move in a big way as you have been using your gifts, whether in homeschool or, you know, in any others? Because I know that you and your family are big with community and outreach, and just like, if anybody has an issue, they know that they can call y'all.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that's probably more of a testament is that, you know, I don't even see it, you know, because yeah. It becomes part of who you are. It's what you do. I guess recently, so the church that we meet at, they have an outreach in the Christmas time, and they perform a first century Bethlehem, and it's a really neat experience. But our family has done that for several years for them, yeah. And I had a friend that recently had not known us very long was like, "How do you get your kids to do that?" I was like, "What do you mean?" They're like, "Well, I'm sure they push back." No, not really. Because that's what we do on a consistent basis. Our family is, we greet at the churches every Sunday, and without fail, they know to be there. At our community, they know their roles, and they actually fight over who's going to do which role.
Yeah.
They're so anxious to fulfill what they have already been called to do. They got their own little labels, right? And then so the same thing with this big production. They are excited to participate, and it's just what we do. And so it's just second hat, second nature, and that's who we are. So it's kind of neat that people kind of just get to the point that they believe that that's, we're Knowles, we're going to be a part of the serving. And the kids know that, and they're not resistant to it. It's habitual.
I love that. You're not only servers as, you know, taking care of others, but you have taught your children that as well. What does that look like practically in their lifetime, not just seeing you serve, but what things have you taught them in this, in their growing up?
Good question. But I think, at least on community days, it's not about us. Mm. It's not about us. There are people around us that need us, whether they need a chair or they need the door opened or they need a hug. It's not about us. We kind of make sure that we're taking care of ourselves at home or outside of the community. And then when we go to community, we're there to be there for them. Same thing with the church. You know, we get our church time. We get our time of spiritual rejuvenation. But we go to the church to open up the doors and be there for the brand new people who've never been there before.
Hmm.
So I guess that's the mentality that we try and give to them. It's like, right now is not your time. Right now is your time to serve and think about others first.
I love that. I love that so much. And I love that as they are serving and you are serving, that they're watching you and everyone is watching the family. And it's so beautiful that, like what you said, you know, I don't even know that it's happening, but it's because you were humble and gracious and faithful to do whatever the Lord has called you to do. And I love and appreciate that in your family. Just that you are making a huge difference and that it is seen. And I know that even behind doors, closed doors, like it's hard to carry that burden. It is hard. And even with the Lord, it is a difficult task to do what you're doing with the homeschool. And I know what that was like.
Yes, you do. You do.
I know what that was like. But it is worth it, I think, is the biggest takeaway from serving others, is that it might not be easy. And it might be trying and you might not like what you're doing, but it is worth it because the Lord called you to it. And you have no idea who you are blessing in that as well. Because like you said, it's not about me. Yeah. It's about what I can do for others and how it's helping them. And that's a huge, huge thing. So for someone listening who isn't sure what their gifts are, what would you say would be a good place for them to start to figure out what is the Lord gifted me with?
I would dig into Paul's letters because I apologize, I don't have the reference, but I mean, it's right there where he outlines our spiritual gifts, that some of them have a gift of teaching, some of them have a gift of hospitality. And so I would dissect those. See what brings you joy. What it comes natural. I guess that's the other thing. If it's hard, it's not natural, right? Yeah. Like I said, the mathematical equations and the accounting book is probably not my gifting because I don't gravitate towards that. But I naturally open up doors and say, "Hey, how are you?" Because that's my gifting. Where you see that there's a hole. That's another thing. A lot of times people will walk through their daily lives and they don't see the holes out there. But if all of a sudden you recognize there's no one here to do this, that might be God's opening for you to be like, that bothers me that there's nobody there. Why isn't there anybody there? And like the old saying goes, everybody thinks someone else should do it, but really, you could do it.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that was one of my other serving roles. When I realized that there was nobody there to do it, I'm like, well, I can do that very easily. So start to see where the holes in your everyday life are, whether it's, you know, at your church or if it's in your education, as well as just the community that you live in, and see where you can maybe take your post and help the world be a better place. That's the other thing that we give away to our kids. We want to make sure that when we're gone, because we are not promised to be here forever, our time is limited. We want there to be an absence when we're gone. I want the world to know that I was here and now I'm not here. So I want there to be an impact enough that my absence is noticed, whatever way that is.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. So what about those that they go, oh, I see that hole, but oh, I'm not qualified to do that. Or, oh, I surely I can't hold a door and say hi. Like, what would you, that sounds silly. Maybe for you, because like, you're like, duh, holding doors and smiling is my thing. But maybe someone's like, I'm not qualified to teach a Sunday school class, or I don't know all the books of the Bible. So I couldn't, you know, tell. What would you say to that lady that's listening?
I would, obviously, the number one thing we have to do is pray. Ask the Lord, have a conversation with him. It doesn't have to be eloquent and perfect, but God, where can you use me? Show me. Help open my eyes, because I don't always see everything that you have for me. And show me where I can be used. Help me to be willing. God, I'm not perfect. You made me, and you know where my giftings are and what you want me to do. And please don't point me to the places where I'm weakest, or help work on those weaknesses if that's where you really need me. For instance, if we're nervous about, oh, I don't know all the books of the Bible. Well, obviously, if that's your stumbling block, I would say take that on.
Yeah.
But also, you and I, our background is that humility in everything makes us a really great leader. Because no one wants to follow a pompous person who has all the answers.
No.
It's a much... Everyone will rally around someone who's humble enough to say, look, I'm going to come alongside you and I'm going to serve with you. One of my best managers always used the we pronoun. We are going to do this together. We are in this together. And that's always more. You can get behind someone who's going to do something with you, as opposed to point the finger at you and tell you what to do.
So,
humility, prayer, and just a heart to heart with yourself. What do you want to do? Are all of our, even our works, I mean, okay, so let's go back to that accounting. Someone is out there really great with accounting. And if you're naturally doing that for a job, why couldn't you do it on the side for a mom who really can't balance her checkbook, can't pay her taxes? Why not do it for a church that's starting up? If that's natural for you, hopefully it's not too out of the ordinary. So find what you naturally do.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So being humble, being faithful with what you have, where you are, and letting God use it is what I'm hearing is.
And that having is that the honest biggest conversation, that's probably the hardest thing, asking God, because a lot of times we don't ask because we don't want to hear. And I think the other thing is everyone wants to protect my time. But you know what? I guess one reason we serve a lot is because the other thing is my money. Mm. Well, it's a lot. I find it's easier to give of my time because there's a lot of skin in the game. And then the money naturally comes if you're a giving person, but it's a lot easier to give of your time. I'll move this chair from point A to point B. I'll open up this door because not much is costing me at first, but when you consistently do it, I guess it takes more and more commitment and faithfulness.
Yeah. But it's also putting, in the Bible, it talks about the things that you're doing is putting treasures in heaven. Yeah. And so like, we might not see the monetary value if we're, you know, using our gifts for a job or just for volunteer work, but it is adding up in a place that matters so much more than where we are earthly right now.
And exactly.
That is where I want, like, and you were saying, like, a legacy, like when you leave, where that legacy, like that, you're leaving a legacy here on earth, but also in heaven, they're like, look at all of this that you did. Yeah. Thank you for using your gifts. Thank you for serving others when you didn't feel like it. And that's what did I say? Very well, good and faithful servant. Like, yeah. We want to hear that when we get to heaven. And yeah. Servant, that's the thing, is that servant heart. And yeah. It's, love this. This has been so good.
I try to remind myself, Jesus did not come to be the teacher, to be the king. He came to be the servant. Yeah. And if we really want to do what Jesus did and be a Christ follower, to be like our Lord and Savior, that is to be a servant.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say is, just like working out or eating right, you have to start small.
Yeah.
You know, so someone who doesn't serve, if you're going to jump all in, it probably is going to hurt a lot more. Whereas if you just sign up for doing one activity during like the Christmas season, and then you start doing something else for 1 hour a week, it's just a little bit at a time. It'll be much more faithful, and you'll see a lot bigger, you know, you'll add more as time goes on.
Yeah. What's the saying? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time?
Bite at a time.
One thing at a time. Yes. Because I feel like we like to do that. We tend to overload our plates with too much, and then we're overwhelmed, and we're like, well, this just didn't work out. Well,
yeah.
Could be because we put too much on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So I love this. So one more thing. Is there any perspective takeaway that you could give to our listeners? Mm-hmm. You've given so many amazing nuggets, but I just want to, is there anything on your heart that you would like to leave them with today?
I guess when you said heart, it made me go, listen to your heart. Is there a demographic that pulls at your heartstrings? Are you tender towards the elderly? Go and visit them at the nursing home and go play bingo with them. Yeah. Are you really sensitive towards kids and really enjoy spending time with them? Well, there's obviously lots of needs for people to work with children, children's ministry. Go where your heart is. It's supposed to be a joy. It's supposed to give you more. And there's been so many studies that will show that when you actually think outside of yourself, your own happiness increases.
Mm.
The most depressed people that are out there are all about me, 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 I. They're self-centered. We all have been there, okay? We've all been there. But at the same time, when you can step outside of yourself, you are going to find the joy of life in giving and serving to others. I always learned it was Jesus first, others second, yourself third.
Mm. That is so good. Thank you, Angela, for sharing your heart with us. And friends, I challenge you this week, go and find a way to use your gifts to serve someone. It doesn't have to be big, just intentional. And remember that small shifts in perspective can lead to big change. Now, go put those perspectives into practice.